Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and an article about the mayoral race on BuzzFeed caught my eye over the weekend. It was about Bill de Blasio's reaction to Anthony Weiner getting into the race, and de Blasio trying to secure an image of, quote, the most progressive candidate in the race, his words. BuzzFeed editor-in-chief Ben Smith joins me now. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Brian.
You know, I continue to think, Ben, that the most interesting thing about Weiner getting in is not who he is in relation to the sexting scandal, but who he is in relation to New York City politics. Would you say he is not the flat-out progressive who became a darling of MSNBC during the Obamacare debate?
Oh, I mean, it's a wide-open question. I mean, Weiner has sort of seen his opportunities and taken them throughout his career and in fact, kind of came up as sort of an outer borough Ed Koch Democrat, a relatively conservative Democrat, though varying from issue to issue. And
back a while, like when he was running in the mayoral primary in 2005, right?
Particularly, that's how he defined himself in the mayoral primary in 2005. His district also changed. You know, he's from Park Slope, but by the time he was in Congress, he was representing a district of kind of more conservative South Brooklyn and Queens. You're very, very hawkish on Israel and foreign policy issues, and kind of a lunch bucket Democrat, essentially, who then basically saw an opportunity politically to be the voice. There was just sort of an opening to be a Democrat who was willing to come out to the left of the kind of carefully negotiated compromise health care plan that Nancy Pelosi was trying to keep her conference in line in. Weiner had backed a sort of a leadership bid that Pelosi opposed and was kind of on the outs anyway. It backed John Murtha, in fact, and so to the kind of
Murtha was seen as a more centrist Democrat at the time.
Yeah, that's right. Internally, although it's Capitol Hill politics are complicated.
Yeah, right.
It wasn't just a left-right thing. But because Pelosi was keeping her caucus in line, there just weren't people out there on the left saying this plan is too right wing. They were furious at Weiner. You know, Pelosi was furious at Weiner for going out there and trying to trying to sabotage this deal that they had very carefully negotiated. But it certainly got him a lot of attention. And if you talk to his staffers from that time, a top priority of his was being on MSNBC talking about it.
So, listeners, if you are considering Anthony Weiner and you're a registered Democrat for the New York City Democratic mayoral primary, if the sexting scandal does not register as a deal breaker for you, what are you actually looking for from him? Are you looking to be that Obamacare progressive? Are you looking for him to be the New York City equivalent of the guest he was on National Politics, on Rachel Maddow all those times? Or what is it that you're looking for from Weiner? And in the context of all the other candidates, how are you sizing these folks up? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, registered New York City Democrats. Is it the progressive candidate or who you're looking for or what? 212-433-9692. And do you have a sense of who Anthony Weiner is, as well as who the others are, in the context of New York City politics? 212-433-9692 if you want to get in on this with Ben Smith from BuzzFeed. And Ben, when we interviewed Weiner on the show last week, I asked him about this positioning and an article in the conservative New York Sun that was actually pro-Weiner. So conservative New York Sun, pro-Weiner editorial. And what's left of that paper as a little website is extremely conservative in most of the things they publish. And this one op-ed said, like Ed Koch in his day, and there's that Koch comparison again, Weiner is the most politically moderate of the leading Democratic candidates. I asked him if he would own that label, and here was his reaction.
I just don't buy the idea that progressives don't want smarter tax policy, don't want lower crime, don't think there are better ways to provide health care. I just don't believe that. But I will say there is an element of truth to the idea that I'm probably not going to be the candidate of other elected officials and big institutions. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to wage a campaign attacking them. I mean, frankly, I want every member of these unions to support me, and I'll let someone else figure out what box they want to put me in ideology.
And he referred to the other institutions because I had framed the question partly in terms of that article, which said he has the least ties to labor and the other traditional democratic interests. So what do you make of an answer like that, Ben?
Well, I think he's got a point. When you talk about municipal politics, the municipal labor unions who, you know, both who get to elect to some degree their bosses are a huge force, an outsized force, a much bigger force than they are in national politics. The teachers union, and in particular DC 37, which represents some, you know, public city workers, and SEIU, the healthcare workers union, which represents folks who are kind of nominally private sector, but largely with government funding. And I think that's true, that Wiener doesn't have the kind of institutional ties to them, isn't going to get their endorsements, isn't going to be politically dependent on them or on their sort of or on institutions that, like the Working Families Party, sort of lean very heavily on them. And so, which then does give him more flexibility to cut taxes and cut spending. So I think, you know, if you're a conservative, that's definitely something to think about.
Joe in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi, Joe.
Yes, I'm going to probably support Anthony Weiner, and I'm more or less going to be looking for him to be the voice of the middle class, as he was in the Obamacare debate. I felt represented by his speeches on the floor.
And what does that mean in the context of New York City issues? Voice of the middle class.
Well, I think it's definitely support of public employees. I think it's. I think it is tax relief too. I think he's right when Anthony Weiner says it's about crime and it's about taxes. Look, you know, New York's a safer place, and that's great for my kids.
Joe, thank you very much. Good start. Lou in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Lou.
Hi. I wanted to support. I intend to support Anthony Weiner, and you know, in response to your question of who do I want him to be, I'm just glad he's not part of the herd. Of, you know, every 4 years, the New York City political masses form and see who's going to, you know, eat at the public trough.
But is he not, in the sense that he was running for mayor in 2005, didn't win that primary, was beginning to run in 2009 until he figured Bloomberg was a shoo-in, so it wasn't worth his time and effort? So is he not from that pack in a certain respect?
I can't believe I'm going to say something so hopelessly naive, but no, I don't think he is part of the Bill Thompson, it's my time now. Mm-hmm. I've labored in the fields, and now my turn comes. No, I can't believe I'm saying something so naive, but I think he's motivated by good politics, you know, a strong ego to be in the public, you know, to get the public mm-hmm. attention and the grandeur that politicians have to fix things, but anyone who's lived through the District 15 debacle in Brooklyn and Carroll Gardens, Cobble Hill area in the late 90s, there should be no question that de Blasio is anything but a progressive. He's just there. You name the cause and he'd be there.
De Blasio, what do you mean? He would be a progressive? What are you saying about de Blasio?
He will go. He will go to any convenient, you know, movement. He'll just glom on. He was not progressive.
What happened in the late 90s in District 15 in Brooklyn?
There was a move, and again, it's been a long time, and if anyone wants to correct me, please do, but I recall that there was an entrenched body that we were looking to oust and to actually take some issue in education issues, and he was a roadblock every step of the way. Mm.
Thanks again, Lou. I appreciate your call. Well, there's two Wiener votes who see him as a little outside the pack. That's pretty
Ben. That's really interesting. I mean, you know, it's like people really hate all of these politicians, and particularly in New York State, they're kind of indistinguishable, and Republicans and Democrats of all races from all boroughs are getting dragged away in handcuffs constantly. And I think it's very and Weiner, you know, his flaws have not, as far as we know, included personal corruption. And I think there's a pretty low bar right now. And you know, he is genuinely an outsider, genuinely kind of disliked by his peers, and sure, very personally ambitious, but which of these guys isn't?
And I think that
recommends him to a lot of folks.
And if the road to City Hall for him goes through Congress rather than going through being the city controller or being the public advocate, then it makes him perhaps a little less connected to some of the entrenched municipal interests. But by contrast, go ahead.
I mean, he's been absent from a lot of the debates and the issues.
But if he's shrinking from the progressive label, by contrast, the article on BuzzFeed this weekend quotes de Blasio saying, "I think this is the dawning of an extraordinarily progressive era. I'm the most progressive candidate in this race," unquote. Now, that's a very different positioning than I guess Wiener is going for, or than I guess Quinn is going for. How would you compare them?
Yeah, I mean, I think de Blasio is very deliberately campaigning as the man of the left, as the candidate of, you know, taxes on the wealthy and more spending on city services. You know, I think he doesn't – it's interesting, and I think there's kind of a broad range of spending proposals, you know, on education, on that he supports. I had somebody say to me, and I asked this of him last week. He didn't really have a good answer. That, you know, like, if you're really the communist in the race, where's your communist manifesto? What's the sort of he doesn't have a kind of central major issue that distinguishes him on the left from all these guys, because they're all pretty liberal. But certainly his history has been as somebody who is close to labor, who's pushing for tax increases, who's battling Bloomberg on things like homelessness policy.
And one of his central issues is a small income tax increase for the wealthiest New York City residents. So he's out there with that. But do you think that it's a change for him, a mid-course correction in the mayoral race, when he flat out says, "I'm the most progressive candidate in this race"? Because I thought it's been John Liu who's been trying to own that label, and the other candidate, you know, the other candidates say $9 minimum wage. Liu says $11.50. They say fix, stop, and frisk. He says end it. They say be more careful about subsidies to big corporations, promising to create jobs. He says abolish the practice. And I thought de Blasio was trying to position himself as the sensible progressive, not the most progressive, kind of in contrast to John Liu. Is something changing?
You know, I don't know. That's a good question. We didn't ask him about Liu, and I think, you know, I think maybe candidates are trying to sort of hoping that Liu's baggage just sort of drags him down and out of the race in terms of top aides getting indicted. You know, we had to push him a bit to get him to engage on Wiener and on whether Wiener was or wasn't really progressive, because I think I got the sense that he thinks Wiener will wind up, I mean, as your caller suggests, kind of returning to the center right and running as Ed Koch, as a second coming of Ed Koch, and not really contesting the left so much.
Ben Smith from BuzzFeed, as we talk about the mayoral race. And Adele in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi, Adele.
Oh, hi. Okay, I thought I was on before, but okay.
No, you're on. You're on now.
Concerned. Hello.
Unless the rest of the listeners missed it. I'm kidding, Adele. You're on now.
Okay. What I'm saying about Wiener, and I got this from a reliable source, that he's pretty pro real estate. I have nothing against that, but you know, being too much on the side of real estate is not helping tenants. And New York City has a lot of tenants. Not everybody is a co-op owner. Not everybody is a homeowner.
Adele, thank you. I'm going to leave it there. Ben, again, on the question of real estate, Christine Quinn has had that rap, fairly or not, that she's the candidate of the real estate interests. Are people going to legitimately raise this about Wiener too?
You know, I do not. I think that all of the, I mean, none of them, for instance, want to abolish rent control the way a Republican might. And on the big issues affecting residential tenants, I can't think of major differences. I mean, certainly the tax questions affect, and the real powers in New York City are the huge commercial real estate holders in Manhattan, these big families that control big chunks of the city and have empires worth billions of dollars. And those are folks who Quinn has courted, who de Blasio is not going to get any traction with. And I think that is where one of kind of the fault lines run. I think it'll be interesting to see where Anthony Wiener lies on it. But a lot of it has to do with fairly subtle matters of who these guys think they can trust. You know, they're coming from a place where that crowd really saw Bloomberg as one of them, as one of, you know, their fellow oligarchs. And so I think there's a bit of panic now in that world of, like, you know, not all of these people are politicians, not masters of the universe like us. And I think there's also sort of a courtship going on. It's as much about kind of culture almost as policy.
And where does Bill Thompson fit into this picture? He's definitely building a coalition. And the news on him recently is that former Republican Senator Al D'Amato is his biggest fundraiser. and that Thompson is reportedly dropping his support of an independent inspector general to oversee the police department, dropping his support of that to help him get the police union endorsements. So is that also a strategic tack to the center?
You know, it's not so much the, I mean, I'm not sure if it's the center. I mean, it's a much more traditionally transactional campaign. He's, you know, talked to Orthodox Jewish leaders about not interfering with circumcision practices that the health department has condemned as unsafe. He's talking to the police union. I mean, and you know, D'Amato, along with being Republican, is a very prominent lobbyist who, so I mean, I think who brings with him kind of the scent of utterly transactional politics.
What would D'Amato want out of him? If D'Amato is now a lobbyist representing clients rather than a Republican politician representing all the people a Republican politician would represent, if he's a lobbyist representing clients, what client wants to own a piece of Bill Thompson there if D'Amato is raising so much money for him? Is it clear?
It's not clear. It's not clear offhand, but certainly you know, real estate interests who are among the biggest employers of lobbyists do care a lot about this, about City Hall.
Last thing.
And his firm, Park Strategies, does have, among others, a lot of real estate clients.
Real quick, I saw a kind of offhand reference in one article about Ray Kelly still considering a run as an independent. Do you know if that's true?
I mean, I have no reason to think it's true. Rupert Murdoch tweeted about it over the weekend, I mean, suggesting that the New York Post's endorsement was his for the taking, you know, that that Kelly could, you know, that he'd see that he, Kelly's the only man who could save the city. So that would give him a bit of a boost, that the New York Post endorsement having been kind of proffered on Twitter, more or less. The petitioning begins in like 9 days, so maybe 7 days now. Petitioning begins next week, so we're kind of running out of time on this.
So somebody, anybody, everybody who's interested is going to have to declare right away. That's news. I didn't know about Murdoch trying to tweet Ray Kelly still into the race. So Ben Smith, editor-in-chief of BuzzFeed, former political columnist for the Daily News, by the way, so he knows his territory. Ben, thanks a lot. I really appreciate it. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, Glenn Hubbard, dean of the Columbia University Business School, on what the fall of the British, Roman, and Ottoman empires have to do with the U.S. economy today. Stay tuned.